I'm Jessie Ware, and I present a podcast called Table Manners with my mum. Say hi, mum.
Hi.
We're very proud that Smart EQ for 2 and 4-4 are sponsoring Table Manners at the moment.
Are they all electric, Jess?
Yeah, all of them now, with the new Smart EQ for 2, Cabrio and 4-seater Smart 4-4. It means that the original city car is now fully electric across the range.
Wow, I can't wait to see them.
Apparently, they're really fun, spacious and practical to drive. And the new smart car comes with all the benefits of electric driving, like its powerful acceleration. I didn't know that electric cars were so powerful for acceleration.
Neither did I. And that you can charge it at home.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And also, of course, the most important thing, emission-free driving.
Perfect for the city.
Search Smart EQ 4-2 and 4-4 to find out more.
Hey You, your go-to destination for the most addictive reality TV.
I love that.
Stream or download all the shows you love with loads same day as the US.
Hallelujah.
Including Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Real Housewives of New Jersey and more. Okay. Escape the Christmas parties with over 7,000 episodes because staying in is the new going out.
This is heaven for me.
Treat yourself to something special. Sign up now to get your 1 month free.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters. Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallant. The Bay Area betches, and our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain. Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Joey Grant.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. New episode coming soon on YouTube. Joining me is the hilarious and wonderful and supremely talented Ronnie Karam of the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast, which is coming. It's back. It's back. Whoa, it's back. Hey, Ronnie, what's going on?
Yeah, tomorrow. Hi, Ben. Thanks for such a sweet intro.
Well, I figured I'd keep it shorter after the last episode when I strung together.
I love it.
Several platitudes. So Ronnie and I, we are really looking forward to 2020 because we will be going back on the road again. And I'm just going to say the cities we're going to. That's it. And if you hear your city or a city that's near you or a city that's near a friend who might be interested, then go to watchacrappens.com and get your tickets or tell your friends to do that. So we are starting off in Los Angeles at the Golden Crappies, and then we're going to Detroit, Michigan, Columbus, Ohio. We got two shows in Austin. One of them sold out. Thanks, guys. Houston, Texas, Birmingham, Hoover, Alabama, New Orleans, Lawrence fucking Kansas, Omaha, Salt Lake City, Vancouver, Orlando, Charleston, Oklahoma City, Asbury Park, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Boston, Massachusetts, and that's all the way in June. We'll probably be adding two or three more cities to that roster in the first 6 months. Then after that, I think we're going to be taking a break. So go get your tickets at watchwhatcrapins.com, and it's the shows are so fun. So we hope to see all of you guys there. And then there's merch too. So I think that's pretty much it. That's I mean life is short. We don't have time to be talking about our touring when we could be talking about part one of Real Housewives of Orange County reunion, right?
What an episode.
Hilarious.
I was dying laughing at this. This is definitely the best episode of the season. And one of my favorites of all time. I don't think I've laughed this hard at Orange County. And I mean, I was dying. Miracle. How could you not? It was the Vicky melting down and having a Diva. Fit like the daughter at the end of Soap Dish. Like, what am I fucking Tweety Bird?
Yeah.
Like wearing the Tweety Bird dress, losing her mind at the producers the whole time, like having a diva breakdown.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was and then Kelly terrified Tamara. I mean, she threw the Tres Amigos were totally slayed.
It was
they
Kelly
totally got
destroyed
beat.
Them.
I mean, Tamara just completely shell-shocked and confused only in part one.
I know.
I mean, it was just quite, it was
amazing. I feel like Bravo is burying these reunion episodes, and it's not fair. Maybe they're not. I mean, maybe more people tune in around the holidays, but wow, it was so funny. I am going to push back a little bit. I think that the episode where they went to Miraval was kind of a brilliant, brilliant episode.
Yeah, that was great.
But this was great. My only complaint is that as a podcaster that we have to like take notes, and some of the stuff was coming in so fast and overlapping. It was like just physically difficult to keep up with the show. But man, was it funny. Kelly was like a champion. I mean, watching her handle those women, watching them get so flustered, and Kelly just laughing in their faces. It was just amazing.
Tamara just being such a disgusting human being.
So awful.
And getting trampled right over and caught in all of her lies, one after the other, and then just not knowing what to do. Like, Tamara has always had that Kelly thing where she can just call someone a fucking bitch or just be so awful that it shuts the other person down.
Yeah.
That's been her MO for years now. And Kelly out terrible persons her or what, like out screams her, and she does not care. Like, she does not care. She will roll around in the mud.
Yeah,
she will, like, she will destroy you. And just Tamara having met her match finally,
yeah,
is just it, wow. I've been waiting for a long time for that.
And it's funny because Kelly just does not take the high road, and anytime you think she might take the high road, she just doesn't, and she so willfully doesn't do it that it's great. I mean, don't forget that Kelly's first season, I remember being very up and down with her, because sometimes I was like, she is a garbage person. She is like, you know, she's nasty. She's crude. She's not right for the show. And then sometimes it'd be like, she's hilarious. She's, you know, she's out of control, but that's funny. And I was constantly going up and down. And then, you know, Ireland happened, and I was like, fuck these women. I'm on Kelly's side. And then the reunion happened, and she called them all C words. And she was so kind of like unapologetic about it in a way that was so hilarious that got under their skin, that like that was the moment that I was like, okay, it's official. I have discovered that I am 100% Team Kelly. And I feel like this episode was like a callback to how she was on that episode, where she just like, fuck these women. I'm just gonna say the worst things about them and laugh all the way to the, not the bank, but at least the green room.
Yeah, well, it was quite an episode. So let's get into it. It took me almost 3 hours to take notes on this sucker.
Damn.
So I will try not to get hung up on every single little thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, every time I rewound, it was something else. You know, there was so much packed into it.
There was, like, five, like, anytime they'd be speaking and they had to give, like, subtitles, there'd be, like, two different colors of subtitles happening all at once because there's too many people talking all at the same time. And Bravo wanted us to see what everyone was saying, you know? Because it was so good.
Yeah. So we start with the typical arrivals, and Shannon is telling a hilarious story. I was literally like a mile away, and I went, oh, I forgot my space.
Oh, God.
And her Khloe Kardashian lookalike hair lady is like, oh, my God. And please let's just stop trying to look like Khloe Kardashian, everybody. It's working, and it's horrifying. The girl looks just like her. Khloe's a very beautiful girl. Get your own face, dude. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Don't go get another face on you.
Yeah, I support that. I support, like, having face individuality. Yeah. So, Shannon tells that story. Kelly walks by Tamara's dressing room and goes, she's like reading the names on the door. She goes, Tamara, Snake. just like a small, like, oh, Kelly is fired up. She is going to go attack today. It was great. And it was like the arrivals were happening, but it was also interwoven with like the trailer for the, so there was like, I didn't take notes on like the coming up because we're going to get to it no matter what. But I mean, how could you also like not absolutely die over Vicky pacing around in her dressing room and then seeing that the camera is watching her and going, really? Fuck off!
Then we see Emily in a walker, and then Andy comes in to say hi to Vicky, and she's like, you want to see my sisters? You want to see my sisters, Andy? And he's like, no, not really. They're good. They're really good. They're really good. I once got it, Andy. Look at my sisters. He's like, oh, God. You look great, but no thanks.
Where do we stand on Andy's beard?
He just looks lost and confused. It's weird. He looks very like he's lost in a library or something.
Lost in a library. I feel like, okay, Andy Cohen is super cute. Okay. Regardless of what you think about him, I think he is just like super, super cute. Right. I don't think the beard is working for him. I just don't, I feel like it's a little patchy. It's not like bushy enough. Andy, we know that you are Bravo Zaddy. I think we don't need the beard. I just don't think it's really, I just don't feel like it's his strongest look.
I think he's going for he's going for like, I have a baby now, so I have a different look. Like, I have a beard and I wear turtlenecks more, but
it's not thick enough. And I'm saying this as someone who can't grow a beard myself. Like, I have a Johnny Depp facial. Like, I can get patchy and I can get scruffy, but I can never really have a beard. So I know my limitations, okay?
Yeah, I think it's stupid. But his performance, on the other hand, in this reunion was one of his best.
He's really come into his own.
Ever. You know? Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. God, what a good episode it was, Ronnie. I mean, Orange County also, by the way, certain shows have strengths, right? I think that New York's strength is their vacation episodes. I mean, they do a great reunion, but you can always rely on a New York vacation to be excellent. And I feel like Orange County's strength is their reunions. They've always had amazing reunions, even after terrible seasons. Always.
Yeah. Yeah, always. Is your asshole jealous of the shit that's coming out of your mouth right now?
That's my opinion!
Oh, so we check on the ladies in their dressing rooms, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm trying to skip all the trailer stuff. So let's go into the theme. Okay. Dun, 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 dun. Welcome. It is season 14 reunion. Almost a decade, and you still continue to serve up the drama freshly squeezed. Kelly, did you take the train here?
She's probably like, oh, thanks, Andy. Hi, Shannon. You look like you've lost even more weight. She's like, well, actually, I actually gained a little bit of weight. I had a Triscuit yesterday, and it was a poor decision. We'll just leave it at that. Ha! I'm happy though. I'm happy. Triscuit shame. Triscuit shame.
Triscuit. I'm totally different now because I'm thin. That really bugged me later when Shannon's like, oh my God, I was so big then. It's like, listen, and you probably will be again, because people with weight issues, I'm speaking as one for those of you who don't know, weight is like a constant thing in life. It's not like, oh, okay, I was horrible when I was fat and now I'm great because I'm thin.
Yeah.
You know, cut that shit. Stop putting that out there.
Yeah. I actually felt that way too a little bit. I kind of felt like she, when she was heavier, like she... We had a lot of empathy for what she was going through or whatever. It almost sounded like when she said, well, I was bigger then, it almost sounded like I understand it's not a place time when she was happy, but it also there was an undertone that I picked up on that I think you picked up on more strongly of like not dismissiveness, but it was like
shaming other people
who haven't gone to where you are yet, and it almost sounded like she like slammed the door in their face. I know she wasn't, but it was a vibe that like that definitely like I picked up on.
Yeah, I don't like that. You know, like you're better or you're worse because of how much you weigh. That sucks.
May have more
and like
to say
it's
about
like congratulations on setting a goal. Yeah, like congrats on setting your goal for and like achieving it, but Yeah, I don't like that. It's like when people come up after you've lost weight and they're like, oh my God. And they act like you've just like been cured of some horrible disease. But anyway, I don't need to go to that. We don't need to go into that whole thing. We still got 18 hours of this recap.
I know. So, Tamra, this is your 12th reunion. How do you prepare for it? She's like, I don't do anything. I don't do anything at all. Just stand on dumpsters and smell the fumes. Yeah, batch.
Yeah, you might want to rethink that and maybe make an effort next time because you just got owned.
Well, I don't think
for
that,
an hour.
I don't think preparation is part of Tamra's skill set in general in life.
So, Andy, Gina, it's your first reunion. New hairstyle. It's like, oh, yeah, I got another one. I get him every day.
Whatever she said. Mm-hmm. Gina, on my last fucking nerve, officially, after this. Yeah. She's been on my nerves all season, but done. I'm seriously officially done now.
Also, on the other hand, Emily, I thought she did a great job this reunion also. She stood her ground. She countered everything that they tried to throw at her. I don't think she was weak. I thought she did a great job, too. Except for the fact that she, like, welcomed back Gina with open arms. But, you know, hey, that happens.
Yeah. And she's like, well, Andy, I got a little hip replacement, and that's why I don't have a spray tan today. Since when don't you have a spray tan? Like, maybe on your hip, but the rest of you is the color of a Christmas ham. So I don't know what you're talking about. You're purple.
So, I'm not even going to address that, Ronnie, because...
The color.
No, I didn't take it in I wasn't going to say that like that.
Oh.
No. Look who's sensitive now, Snowflake.
I am.
No,
well,
I wasn't.
It's because we get to the Vicky Piggy.
No, I said I'm not going to address it because I thought it was so funny that you said she was the color of a ham, a Christmas ham. I was like, that is too funny. I'm not even, like, if I start talking about it, it's going to take me to a weird place. So
we were just talking about New Jersey where they had, like, a big juicy ham. And I was like, oh, my God, that's the color Emily is in the reunion.
That was an Easter ham, okay? Get your ham straight.
Oh, Easter
so
ham.
So funny.
He's
I was
totally
driving
different.
By where there used to be a honey-baked ham place here in L.A., and it's gone now. And now it's like an Ortho mattress. And I was like, I miss the honey-baked ham place, even though I never went into it. I just liked that there was a ham option. So anyway, It was right in the middle of the Jewish district, too. I was like, that's rude. Okay, I'm a little triggered by that. So... So Andy's like, wow, for this decor here at Showbiz Studios. By the way, Showbiz Studios, really? Oh, I mean, that's like very on the nose. So he's like, we decided we're going to recreate the miracle at Miraval. We're going to make it look like that. And just off stage, we have some shrubbery if you need a moment, Tamra. Because, you know, she was in the bushes. And Tamra goes, I guess I just have a thing with bush. Got bush.
Ugh.
It's vagina.
Yeah,
it's
you'll
vagina.
Vote for
it's
every
like
one
vagina.
Of them. You'll vote for every single one of
she
them.
Will.
And she's like, yeah, that was a result of too much tequila shots.
And Brahman goes,
Tamra grammar.
Way too much tequila shots. Thank you for being a grammar Nazi for me because I was clearly missed it. But Brahman goes, you know what you remind me of? You remind me of Hazel when she tries to hide from me. I'm like, who the hell is Hazel? Is that one of her kids? Who is Hazel?
Yeah, which number is that?
So, yeah. you've seen a familiar face, but none was better than that of Fun Shannon. Welcome back, Fun Shannon. Shannon's like,
Fun Shannon, thank you. Thank you so much. That's Wynton Marsalis on saxophone over there. Everyone, welcome to Fun Shannon Show. Today's guests are my friend Lorraine, who has taught me about fun yoga. It's like hot yoga, but it's fun. And I also want to welcome Mr. Peter Dinklage. So welcome to Fun Shannon Show.
Ladies, is it fun to see Fun Shannon again? Do you have fun with Fun Shannon? Tell me, lady.
And Tamara's like, yeah. And Gina goes, well, it's the first time for me, so I liked her.
Yeah. So how's Sophie's book coming, that ridiculous idea that's not wholly original? How's that coming along?
Well, Sophie just got into Baylor University. Thank you. Thank you so much. Got into Baylor. And so she's in Baylor, and she's looking to find a sorority.
So basically, no, the book is not coming along at all. That's what that means.
Oh, she said now she's going to focus on the
yeah,
book.
But basically,
now that she's into school,
yeah.
she used the pitch to get into school, and now she's going to focus on
yeah,
that.
Which
on that book,
as we all know, means there will be no book. It means yeah. that she wasn't working on the book, And now there is definitely going to be no book. There'll be maybe a pamphlet.
Yeah, you won with a pitch. You go, sister.
Start a blog.
Shannon, the reports say you got $1.4 million in your settlement and 10 grand a month. Is that true? She's like, well, I don't think that that's the right amount. Honestly, Andy, I thought it would be more money than that.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah. Is it what I expected? No. Is it what I wanted? No. Did I think I'd get more? Yes. Did I get more? No.
No.
David? David, I think it's time to go to commercial. Do you want to go to commercial, David? David? David?
And then they start talking about Duff, and she never saw him after, because I met someone after, Andy, shortly after I met someone. And Shannon is doing that big, tight smile this whole reunion, because she's like, look at me having fun, when she knows she's just about to get slaughtered. Yeah.
You know, it's just like what they say, like, you meet someone just when you don't expect it. For instance, I was waiting in the waiting room for Dr. Moon because I had a piece of plastic in my butt, or so I thought. Turns out it was just a normal bowel movement that was just particularly hard that day. Ha! Anyway, I was sitting there, and in came this handsome man named John, and we've been attached at the hip ever since. Truly, literally attached. I had some glue on my hip, and we did get stuck until just last night.
If I was to put everything on a list and what I'm looking for, it would be him. It would be John.
I was like, what is with the Tres Amigas and their fucking lists? Okay. My God, stop with that.
Well, he has three kids and I have three kids. And then the kids spend all these times. They spend 3 days together a week, Andy.
And Andy's like, well, who's met this lucky guy? And only Bronwyn and Tamron say they have. And Shannon goes,
And Kelly's met him.
Kelly goes, good guy. Yeah. I mean, they look like they're in love. Yeah.
And has John ever watched the show? No, he hasn't watched the show, but he's now seen some episodes here or there, which I always think is a lie. I always believe these guys always. How do you not watch the show that your girlfriend is on?
Yeah, of course he watched the show. Of course he did. And Andy says, did he see last season? And he cringes. She goes, yes, actually, he did see last season. He goes, well, you were kind of going off the rails big time there. She goes, yeah, well, I was kind of big.
Yeah.
That's where. And then trigger Ronnie over here. I was like, how dare you, ma'am?
So, Shannon, have you been able to take advantage of your O shot? You know, more specifically, have you orgasmed with him? You had a big orgasm with this guy? Did he trigger the inside of your vaginal cavity? That's what I'm trying to ask you, Shannon. She's like, no, the O shot was before I met him. I think it had worn off pretty quickly. I think, unfortunately, it's one of the side effects of having a mild concussion is that it totally unravels any sort of O shots you may have received in the previous 3 months. So thanks again, Kelly Dodd.
Think you'll get married, Shannon? Tamara's like, yes, 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 definitely yes. She's like, well, I don't want to say that, Andy, but we have talked about the plans, the future, how I'm not going to jump right into another relationship, and that I will marry him immediately, Andy.
Last year, Gina called Shannon an open book of bullshit. So, now you guys are friends. What's up with that?
Ha! You know what's funny is that, do you know that last year I found a shirt that said bullshit and I could not wait to wear it around Gina? I never did because it was actually being sold in Key West and it was just very difficult for me.
I have fun with everything, Andy, including someone being mean to me at a reunion. Wasn't that fun?
So Andy says, okay, we're going to stop to fix the mic and fix the hair. And so we take a little break. And Shannon's like, Bronwyn's like, can I use the bathroom because I pee a lot? And Shannon's like, oh, well, I have a kidney infection. It's UTA dying. Real Housewives of the OC, Andy.
It's so classic. Shannon to weigh in with her kidney infection and UTI.
Yes, like one upping someone else's need to pee with her kidney infection. And then Tamara one upping everybody by going, better than an STD.
So meanwhile, while they're over there getting their mics fixed, Vicky is furious in her dressing room because I think she showed up thinking that she would be just on the reunion like normal, and now she's realizing she's not out there on the couches, and on top of that, she might not even be in the first seat on the couches. So she's just like, I am pissed at you guys. I am pissed. I want to freaking leave. Okay. Where am I sitting? Where am I sitting? Am I sitting at the end like a little lap dog? What am I doing? Get a job.
And Gavin, the producer's like, that's what we're trying to figure out right now. And Vicky, by the way, is waving around a vape. I mean, she's very Cruella DeVille this whole time.
Oh, I didn't even notice
that. Like waving around a cigarette, but it's like a vape that she's holding because it's, you know, almost 2020. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not going on sitting at the end. I started this show 15 years ago. So you either just let me go. Let me go. If you don't want me, just let me go. Just let me go in grace.
You're the one who's being ungraceful right now. Like, literally, like, you going in grace is you doing your segment and leaving and riding off into the sunset. Not storming around backstage, suing the show, and then having a hissy fit.
Just beautiful. So, all right, we're back. Gina and Emily were instant ride or die BFFs. But when Gina cozied up to the three amigas, Emily wanted to know if their friendship was as fleeting as an OC cup size.
I was like, that is a stretch. I mean, to be fair, I think it was a pun because he said, Emily wondered if her bosom buddy's loyalty was as fleeting as an OC woman's cup size. So I think there was some sort of like bosom cup size connection there. Either way,
Andy found a way to talk about implants.
Yeah, it was sweaty. You know? It was sweaty. It was not... This was not the sort of writing that's going to get an Emmy or a daytime Emmy.
Well, during this clip package of this wacky friendship with Emily and Gina, which literally no one cares about, I have to say, I don't think I know anybody who cares about this. We certainly don't. But this clip package of Gina and Emily cracks me up because everybody is railing on cats right now. They are going just to fucking town on cats, hating it. They're the funniest reviews. If you guys haven't read them, you should go read them. And they show up that picture of Gina and cats makeup, and I was like, typical. Of course, we get this right in the middle of the biggest failure ever. It fits.
Of course, yes, exactly. So, what's the status of their friendship now? And Gina's like, you know, I get confused by a friendship. Honestly, I mean, if there's any distance in a friendship, like Emily thinks it's just like. Thinks the worst of what happened, you know? I'm like, yeah, well, she has a right to think that because whenever there is distance, you go over to the Tres Amigas, they get in your head, then you think that Emily is, like, clinging and awful, and she's actually been, like, the only good friend to you on this show.
Yeah, and Gina's like, well, you know, I need her to, you know, I understand, Gina, Emily, but my life was falling apart. And Emily goes, well, my life wasn't great either. Well, I didn't know that. She's married to Shane.
Yeah.
Of course she fucking knew that, okay? And you also didn't know that because you didn't ask about anybody else.
Exactly.
You know, it's always all about you and your issues all the time.
Yeah, like, I don't think that's a good defense. Well, I didn't know. Like, well, that's a failure on your part as a friend, actually. Like, anyone... The woman who works at the Hallmark store can watch Emily walk by on the sidewalk and be like, ooh, that's a woman in pain. Like, literally in pain. She has arthritis. She's hobbling. And she also is crying. Like, anyone can see that Emily needs a friend right now.
Yeah. Well, you were upset that the only person... wait, what are they talking about?
They're talking about Vegas, and so...
Oh, yes. Like, yes. You know, so he's saying, like, you told everybody else you weren't going to go to Vegas except for Emily.
Yeah, exactly. And Emily was like... You know, her whole thing is, Gina's thing is like, you know, I feel like I told you from the beginning that I couldn't go. I don't see what the big deal is. And Emily's like, well, the most hurtful thing is all the things you said behind my back.
What was it? I didn't see anything behind your back. What was that? What I say behind your back? Name one.
Just, you were making fun of me. Because the whole thing is that Gina was like, I think it's sort of weird. She was like dancing for her father-in-law, which was weird. But it wasn't like she was giving her dad, her father-in-law, a lap dance. The weirdness is that Shane didn't. The dad was there and Shane wasn't. And that's really Shane's fault, not the dad's fault.
And she was talking to two people who don't like Emily, shit-talking Emily. Like,
that's more of the issue.
How
did
you not see how that was bad, you know? And she's just full of shit. She just, this is how she argues. Everything she says, she goes, but I feel like I told you that. It's like, no, you don't get to just say you feel in front of everything so that anybody arguing with you is, like, going against your feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you have the right to your feelings, and so she uses that as a shield. Like, no, you're wrong. You're just fucking wrong. You don't get to just say, like,
well, I feel like
I told you, but you didn't.
Yeah.
So how do you feel like you told her? Does that like justify everything? Because feelings? No, you didn't tell her. Stop with your, I feel this and I feel that.
Yeah, exactly. And basically she's like, I guess Gina at one point starts saying like, I didn't understand it, which is like, I think like about maybe like, I didn't understand why this was such a big deal. And then Emily's like, I don't care if you don't understand it. There's like so many things in your life that I don't understand. And that's like part of being friends, that you don't understand, but you learn from each other, yada, 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 yada. But if
she's saying, I don't understand the whole point of like stripping for your, you know, cause that storyline didn't make any sense. Emily's like, yeah,
but at least we could try to understand it. But Emily, but Gina, like if she doesn't have a sign from TJ Maxx that says stripping, it's like, it doesn't, it's like, there's no way of even comprehending it.
So Tamara tries to jump in to go anti-Emily for Gina. Yes. She goes, what'd she say? What'd she say?
Why don't you ask
her? I don't even know.
Yeah. Ask her.
Like, I don't even know.
Ask her. Ask, like, such an instigator. Like, Tamara is evil. She is not only evil, she's evil in the way. Like, Tamara is the person who threw a ball at Gabriella's head on New Jersey. Like, she is that girl on the playground who does that shit. You know that, right?
Yeah, she was the one who hit it.
Well, you said it's in the ball comment.
Yeah, that is Tamara's
also, she's
MO.
Got the foot tap, the Shep foot tap when Shep is in trouble and he just starts tapping his foot like crazy at the reunion. Tamara has that the whole time. Like, she is stressing this. So Gina's like, I don't even know what I said. So Emily goes, it was about when I was going to Vegas and dancing. And then Kelly jumps in for Emily and she's like, yeah, it was like how she was dancing, like for the father-in-law.
Yeah.
And then we see a clip of Gina doing that.
And,
Kelly... Gina jumps on Kelly and goes, Kelly, you said that was the funniest thing you ever saw in your life, so don't even.
It was. It was super funny. It was so funny. Oh, my God. And they're like, but what the fuck? And and even Bronwyn goes, it was hysterical. And then so then they're like, but you see, you just said it was funny. They're like, but you were saying it in a judgmental way. You were saying it in a judgmental way. And then Tamara just goes, shut up. You're a dumb bitch. Like,
what the hell, Tamara?
That's like when all else fails.
Yeah, she
kind of
whispers
it. Dumb bitch.
This was one of my. I mean, there were so many favorite parts. I keep saying this is my favorite part because
it's
okay. Like Christmas Day of reunion. So she goes, "Shut up, you dumb bitch!" And Kelly goes, "Me dumb? You're dumb. You don't even have a high school education.
High school? What? Yes, I do. I graduated from high school.
Yeah, right. Dummy.
Dummy. Dummy. You're dummy. You're dummy."
You're dumb.
I love talking about, like, I love a fight about, like, you're dumb, you didn't even have a high school education, and then it devolves down to saying, dummy, dummy, dummy. And yet, I'm totally on Kelly's side.
I was laughing so hard. I just kept rewinding that part and laughing.
There was so much going on. That was, like, one of those moments when, like, Gina was just yapping away. No one cares what Gina's saying. Andy's trying to follow, but he also sees that this thing is happening. And then there's like all these subtitles on the screen of like yellow and white, like dumb, you're dumb. I graduated high school, dummy, dummy. Yes, I do. Dummy, 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 dumb, dumb, you're dumb.
Yeah, because it was during this Gina and Emily fight. It's so stupid. It's so boring. And so they're just like stealing the show. And Emily and Gina just keep talking. Like they're still trying to have this scene. And so Andy's like, yeah, Tamara. Like he's giving an awkward look to Tamara like she just lost. Yeah. So I don't know about the high school thing or not. But so Gina goes, well, I needed to be selfish this year. And I just needed you to be here for me, like to make me feel like I'm a bad friend or like I would turn on you. Like, it's not fair. Like, I really pride myself on my integrity. Like, oh my God, you were a bad friend. Again, it's not how you feel.
Yeah, you were a bad friend. And then she goes, and if you don't realize that, then I feel like we would never friends. You can't, like, you can't declare that you need to be selfish and then get mad if someone else is also feeling that they need to be selfish and didn't see something, okay? Like, and in fact, like, to me, like, being selfish, like, having a moment where you need to be selfish means that you have a, like, you're going to indulge. You're going to, like, maybe buy that dress that you want to always have. You're going to take yourself out to dinner. You're going to do nice things for yourself. That's what being selfish is. Being selfish for yourself to, like, boost yourself up does not mean that you just, like, completely ignore what other people are going through. You actually, like, use that to bond and learn and grow and bolster yourself up and actually gain the support through that, through shared mutual experiences. This is what I'm saying. This is like coming off the top of my head, but as I say it, I'm like, yes, Ben, you are saying the right things right now. I do feel that way. You know, I'm like, wait a second.
You're your own reunion.
I'm like, I know. I'm like,
you're like making up with yourself.
I'm like
right
cheering
now,
myself on. I'm like, yes, Ben, say it. This is good. This is good. This is supportive things, but it's true. I do believe myself, guys.
Ben, hug Ben.
Thank you.
I think it's time.
I'm congratulating myself in the middle of my rant. Way to go, me.
Yeah, but you are absolutely right. And so Emily's like, well, I could say that you weren't there for me and you were talking behind my back, which we've saw all season. So Gina can pretend that this didn't happen.
Yeah.
Or she doesn't remember it, but it's bullshit. So she goes, well, then that's where we stand. And her fake tears immediately stop because she can't win with them.
And
and
Emily goes, you know, when Gina got a DUI, my level of judgment was zero. And Gina goes, no, I didn't feel that way. You said you were disappointed in me. And Emily's like, well, what am I? I'm your friend. What am I supposed to say? Great job. Good for you. And it's true. Here's the thing that, like, it's one thing. She gets a DUI and Emily says, I'm disappointed in you. Yeah, okay, I guess that is judgmental. But, like, also, by the way, people are inherently judgmental. I think what Emily is trying to say is, yeah, I was disappointed in you, but I didn't shun you as a friend. I didn't think, like, oh, you're a horrible person. I didn't think, like, oh, look at that, like, monster, how she, like, she basically didn't do the things that we do as podcasters. And that's what she's saying.
Well, she wasn't doing the things that Vicky, Tamara, and Shannon did when they were texting around laughing and, like, smiling about it the next day.
Exactly. You know? She's expressing that she's disappointed. So, yes, technically that is a judgment. But she was also, she did not just, like, abandon her and just be like, whoa, she's, like, a piece of trash. She didn't do it. She didn't make value judgments about who she is as a person.
Yeah. So then outside, Vicky is with the producer and she's got her little vape she's waving around and she's so pissed. And I put, what am I, fucking Tweety Bird? Because I'm just dying at her dress choice. So Vicky's like, you think I'm okay with this? Do you think I'm okay with this? This show has gone down because I'm not the leader. And so Steve comes over to her and he's like, what is going on here? She goes, oh, there's one or two acts and they're going to throw me in like a 30, I'm thirsty. I feel like I'm with the bottom feeders. I feel like I'm a catfish.
Like every time they cut back to Vicky, she has a new animal. I'm not gonna be a lap dog. I won't be a catfish. I won't be a sick zebra.
So Steve goes, all right, then let's just go home. And Vicky won't move from the door. Like, she starts biting his lip like, well, if he really thinks I'm going to fucking walk away from this, he's nuts. Yeah.
Steve basically calls her bluff and she's not willing to take it. So then back on stage, Andy asks Emily if she saw a change in Gina as she became better friends with the Tres Amigas. And, you know, of course, Emily did see a change. And so Kelly goes, yeah, well, you know, I think she felt that Shannon, you know, like, shunned you for, like, she's talking to Gina. She's like, you know, Shannon shunned you for a year, and then, I don't know, and this is, like, this is what they do. I know this because I'm seasoned, okay? I'm seasoned. They don't like the girl for the first year. They're dorks. Okay, I'm seasoned. And Tamara goes.
And Shannon and Tamara are both going, oh, yeah, seasoned.
Yeah, seasoned,
uh-huh,
all right.
Seasoned, you're all right. Seasoned, uh-huh.
Kelly goes, yeah, you guys are very seasoned. You guys are burnt, cooked. Burnt! Charred!
And Andy cringes because they're both, Shannon and Tamara are both shut down yet again. So Tamara goes, you're such a horrible person. She just can't help herself. She goes, yeah, you can't either. You're the one who said dummy first. And Tamara goes, No, I didn't. She says, yeah, you did. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. You're a great mom. Real great mom.
Great mom. Great mom. Great mom.
And it just cuts to Tamara's face, totally flustered and not knowing what to do.
She's basically doing commercial. She's doing the invisible straw, where, like, the top lip is over the bottom lip and she's sucking in the invisible straw.
Or like speed fish. You know how fish just their lips go wah, wah, speed wah, 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 wah. It's just like going really fast. Like wah, 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 wah.
Someone is shuttling through fish footage. So, hey, Emily, how could you not know that Shane's cousin was taken? The fact that this is still even coming up is so ridiculous.
God, no kidding. You guys really do have 3 hours to fill.
Yeah. So Emily's like, I didn't know. Like, there's text messages. I didn't know. And but apparently I didn't realize this, or maybe I'd forgotten. Tamara went on to Watch What Happens Live and was like, yeah, Emily definitely knew. And I have the proof. Yeah, I have the proof. Shut the fuck up, Tamara. You had zero proof.
So Tamara's like, well, I said that because Jenna said that was the truth. And Emily goes, but I had a conversation with you too, and this is why I have a trouble. This is why I have trouble getting close to you, Tamara, because I talked to you about it too. And she goes,
yeah, but Gina said something other than you said. And she goes,
yeah, but she's saying that you do both sides of it, so why are you believing one over the other? And she goes,
well, maybe I don't believe you, Emily. Maybe I just don't believe you.
See,
and she is so rattled at this
she
point.
Is.
I'm living for
and
this.
Tamara is the sort of person who says this stuff right here, maybe I don't believe you, and then blames Emily for their inability to connect as friends. I mean, that's why Emily's like, this is why I can't connect with you, because I'm giving you my side of the story, and you're not believing me. And it's like, I'm the source, like, and you're just hearing it through Gina, you know. But Tamara, like, oh, it drives me nuts. She drives me nuts.
Yes, and then Andy's like, well, is there hope for this boring friendship? And then Emily and Gina, who have obviously watched every season of The Housewives ever, do the total classic Housewives move of, we're going to hug now and cry on the couch together.
Yeah.
And while they're doing this, and this is what Vicky and Shannon and Tamara have now done a zillion times.
Yep, I know what you're going to say.
So, and they're just sitting there looking
furious.
So furious and bored. It's like a cross between bored and furious. They're trying to look bored at this whole storyline, but they just look exhausted.
Well, I took really. It at, like, you know, they've done all this work to, like, you know, the Trace Amigas hate Emily. They want her off the show. They even said on some interview that she just doesn't fit in. And on top of that, Emily basically, like, harasses, but, like, is a thorn in their side on Twitter, etc. So after all this stuff, you know, Gina's like, you know what? What's the future for us? You know what? She loves me. She can be mad, but she loves me. And then they hug, and Tamara's like, angry. And then Gina's like, you know what? I think she's a little stubborn. I'm a little stubborn. She's a little bit more stubborn, you know. But that's why I got a sign that say, stubborn. And then you just see Shannon with that, like, pursed lip look, like, oh, fine. Well, I took her under my wing. I made her the baby of Trace Amigas, and this is how she repays me, by being friends with that monster.
Yes, and they're also just sitting there watching, like, the newer cast take over from the older cast using all the same Housewives reunion moves that they've already perfected over the years.
Yeah.
And they're literally watching their fights being trampled while the new girls take over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like National Geographic shit that we're watching
so
tonight.
Once again, it's time to fix Kelly's mic. It seems like they always, pretty much anytime they have to fix a mic on this reunion, we know we're going to get a Vicky scene. It almost makes me feel like Vicky is having tantrums backstage, and every time she yells particularly loudly, she, like, short circuits all the microphones. Like, we got to fix the microphones again. Let's see what Vicky did.
So it's lunchtime, and Tamara, no, it's not lunchtime. They're just stopping
soon
for the mic. So Shannon goes, when is lunch? And Tamara says, Cat Batistan, because Becca is here. She hasn't come out yet. And Shannon goes, well, God, when is she coming out? And Tamara says, this is going to be brutal.
So Vicky's, like, backstage with Steve. She's like, they make me wait. They make me wait. Every hour that I wait makes me feel like a has-been. I'm like, well, you have to have been to be a has-been.
I also have to point out that she didn't say she's a has been. She goes, it makes me feel like I'm a hazard bin.
Oh, a hazard bin.
I mean,
hazard bin.
Hazard bin. So Steve goes, just get it over with. And Gavin goes, whenever you're ready, dear.
So she is just so angry. She's like, let me sit down and get my job over with. So she comes out onto the set. She plops down next to Andy, and she's like, Andy, my temperature is at 150. I mean, how could you fucking do this to me? What's going on? 150. And
yeah, not good, Andy.
Is that what she said? Not good. And he just looks at her like, oh, bitch, you're going to try to come for me? I run this show.
And then Andy slays. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been proud of Andy before. But I was so proud of him. He goes, well, he's got this huge shit-eating grin. Like, he is
bigger,
loving
like,
it.
Like, the left side of his face has never come closer to his eyeball.
The OG of the OC needs no introduction. And she'd have words with me if she didn't get one. Please welcome CODO resident, insurance maven, future Mrs. Lodge, lady on the unemployment line, Jane Roe.
And everyone just sits there and looks at him
like, what?
Terrified.
Like, is this
the cast is so scared.
I think it's gonna be like an abortion debate. Like, Gina.
They know what he means.
And he goes, I mean, Mrs. Gumbleson. So what I'm referring to is that you almost didn't come today. Because on November 1st, TMZ reported that someone named Jane Roe filed a lawsuit against Bravo and the production company that produces the show, Evolution Entertainment, over some statements made on the show. And Vicky is literally twitching in shock. She's like an evil robot in a movie.
Jane Robot.
Is finally beat. She's finally beat, and one eye is like twitching, and her face is moving back, shaking back and forth.
Yes. Oh. So he's like, well, as it turned out, Jane Roe was Vicky. Wow.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Like, it wasn't a secret. Yeah, of course.
Anyone who goes after my business, okay, you know what? I'm the CEO of a major corporation, okay? I have 3 offices. My son works there, and Linda, okay? That's a major corporation.
We serve thousands and thousands of people. And Brianna.
Yeah.
So for anyone to insinuate that I'm fraudulent or a con woman or have life insurance policies on everybody I've ever met in my entire life, anyone but the truth, they're going to get sued.
Let me ask you a question, okay? Do 40,000 birds crash into the windows of small corporations? No. No. I'm a major corporation. That's why I've got a pile of dead birds outside my window, because they'll crash into my windows.
Well, it seems to me, Vic, that you brought so much more attention to this. Just, I don't care. No one is going to come after my business. I've had my business 31 years.
I have a brand.
And Kelly goes, I have a brand.
Oh, Kelly, what brand do you have?
Positive Beverage. Positive Beverage, you dork.
That's your company?
That's not even your company.
I own 25%. That's a quarter. I own a quarter. Quarter is more than you have. Quarter. Quarter. That's bigger than Tamara's brain. She didn't even go to high school. Dumb dummy.
Let's see where your company is in 31 years. Let's see where your company is. Some middleman. Some middleman selling insurance.
It was. So Vicky is like convulsing. She is.
Yes.
She
and Tamara's trying to cackle, but it's not working because they're losing. So Vicky's like, oh, another wannabe. No middleman here, baby. And Andy goes, well, Kelly, Vicky dropped a suit, but Kelly, what do you think about that lawsuit? And Kelly goes, bring it on, mama.
Listen, I'm on Shark Love Tank. Okay, I'm a businesswoman.
Shark Love Tank. So then Vicky goes, oh, by the way, it was a restraining order, not a lawsuit. You just said you sued her, Vicky. Like, hello, you just said on this show, on air.
I know.
Like, if you come after me, there's going to be a lawsuit. And Kelly laughs and she goes, well, it didn't go through. Blah!
Vicky definitely, thought she was going to come out and be like, it's the Grand Dame. Well, not the Grand Dame. Sorry, Karen. But, like, you know, like the OG. Wow, where would we be without her? And she found love. And look, you can't have Tres Amigas without Vicky. She thought it was going to be, like, a bow down moment. But listen, you don't sue Bravo and Evolution and think they're going to be happy about it and not get the last word, Vicky. As my dad always likes to say, don't mess with someone who buys ink by the barrel, which means,
which basically means
like that's if cute. Someone's like, if someone is in control of the, like is writing is, you know, runs the newspaper or in this case runs the TV show, don't fuck with them.
Pretty much. And we're back. The woo-hoos were heard round the world when Steve proposed. But from Dawn to Brooks, the road to filling up Vicky's love tank has been anything but a smooth ride. So now they're going to drag her some more by just showing Brooks clips and showing Dawn calling her a stupid bitch and all the a lying sack of dog shit.
It's like the anti-romance, you know, like the... It's like just looking at all of Vicky's terrible marriages, all the terrible things she's been through, all the terrible things that she's put people through, and then like culminating in like the tepid love affair that is Vicky and Steve opening up a jar of Pace salsa in the kitchen and spilling it on his, you know, his Josie Banks button-down shirt.
So 2 things about this montage of Vicky. First, they put all 3 guys that Vicky was with before Steve, and they all look exactly the same. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Do you want me? I'm gonna. Oh, damn! Oh, it's on my broken computer, but I'll send it to you later. it's weird because you don't think those guys would look alike, right? Well, I didn't remember the first one, but the Donna and Brooks, you don't think they would look alike, right? I'll show you the picture they put on Bravo, and it looked crazy to
me. Did this, montage, by the way, did it include the three guys she had group sex with on the company trip?
I did not have sex on multiple parties!
So then the other thing I noticed was Vicky's voice. First of all, we all know Vicky's face changed about 30 times in this montage, but her voice changes from one season to the next. She's like, yeah, you know, I really love Brooks. That's all I need to say about it. I really, you know, now I love Steve. It's like, how did that happen? Did you get like a new esophagus between seasons?
Maybe it's just like Heather DeBrow in like Mission Impossible mask. So why is Vicky doing the claw hand so much?
Why is Vicky freezing hexagonal ice in her freezer? What has happened to Vicky? Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. Yeah,
it's okay. You're
dummy. And then we see that room. Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to add, we see at the very end of Vicky's clip package, her in the limo with Steve going, honey, I can't wait to marry you. Right, honey? Right? Right, honey? Right, honey?
So Andy, of course, goes, what's it like to relive all that, all those terrible decisions you've made year after year after year and will continue to make, including but not limited to Steve himself? And Vicky's like, it's hard. Those 4 years with Brooks, it's hard to look at. It's really hard to look at. That was before he got his teeth in. It was a difficult time for me. Yeah.
I saw the receipt for those teeth and I want to take it back. That's it. That's how I feel, Andy. Yeah. That's how I feel right there. He goes, did you notice during the clip package as the Brooks stuff kept going and going? She goes, wow, you guys really love to show Brooks.
I did not notice that. That's hilarious.
So he's like, well, that's not the answer I expected. Vicky, does Steve ever give you affirmations that he loves you? And she goes, yes, yes, in his way. He does. I'm like, so no.
Sometimes he'll bring me a jar of Tostitos queso and be like, hey, Vic, can you open this? I'm like, wow, he really does care for me. It takes two, you know? It takes two.
One time he didn't call me back for like 6 weeks. That was romantic. Yeah. That was really real. That's how he shows his love.
Yeah, one time, he went and he bought a Brita water filter for me and said, here, Vic, you can put this in now. And I was like, wow, that's love.
That's his way. His love. That's his way.
Love language.
So Andy asks Emily, why do you think Vicky brought her own engagement ring? Why did you say that? And Emily's like, it was a joke.
Like, and Vicky's like, what's so funny about that? What's so funny about that? I'm like,
well, actually, your brother told us that. So Tamara can't even stay on the same side for 2 seconds.
I know. Well, because Tamara is still always angling to take down Vicky, right? Like when all else fails, go after Vicky. Easy target. But for right now, yes. She needs to, like, she's also trying to take down Kelly. So then Andy starts asking about everyone's marriages and if they would still, would the marriages still be intact if it weren't, like, if they weren't on the show? Because a lot of times the show is famous for accelerating divorces. And Shannon's like, oh, actually, we would have been divorced much earlier. Yeah. We had a very terrible, terrible marriage. And we thought that maybe if we could fake it on television, it would fix it. But guess what? It doesn't work that way. It actually makes things much, much worse. Much worse. Yes, thank you.
And Bronwyn says, in our marriage, it's the opposite because we're closer now. Like, we're more like equals because, you know, he was the one doing stuff before. But now I have something to do, too. And Vicky just twitches. She's she's like her eyes twitching and she's her head shaking.
Who gave you a driver place on the couch? Huh?
So time for break, and Emily's like, is it lunch?
Yeah.
And Gina says, I have 18 layers of Spanx to take off. I'm like, wow, you are really just taking everything that Shannon ever did.
I know.
In this reunion and using it.
Kelly sort of like walks off the stage a little bit, and she just is smiling and being like, I can't stand her.
And Andy is taking a picture with like one of the crew guys and Vicky.
Oh, the creator of creator of the Housewives, actually.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, Scott Dunlop.
Oh, I had no idea. So they're taking I never knew what he looked like. Now I have an image. So great job, by the way, sir. So they're all three taking a picture, and then when it's done, Andy goes, "Be happy, Vicky. Be happy."
So then backstage, Gina and Emily are joking about something. I couldn't figure out really what it was. I didn't really care that much. I just was like, they're joking. And then we go to Tamara. And Tamara and Shannon are in their dressing room just being so immature. And Tamara goes, do you notice something really weird about Kelly? She starts going like this. And she starts like curling up her top lip and showing, baring her teeth. She's like, look, she's going like this over and over again, over and over again. And then we cut the footage of Kelly allegedly doing it. It's like, it's literally just Kelly just sitting there with her, like a slight gap in her lips. I was like, not quite the same. Not quite the same.
I thought that I took this, and I always read this stuff into everything. Sorry. But I took it as Tamara kind of making a veiled coke accusation.
Yeah, you know what?
Like a coke gum.
You know what? That's Dom also took it that way. He was watching with me. He's like, is she accusing her of doing coke? You know? But then when you look at Kelly, yep. it didn't really look like that to me. And I'm not saying that to be a Kelly defender. I just was like, what?
No, I don't think she looked like she was on coke either. I think Tamara is just suggesting that she's on coke, but she's doing it in a way that she doesn't get sued.
Yeah, and so then Shannon goes, I mean, she has such an ego right now. I mean, put a pin in it, lady. I was like, I don't think that she has an ego. I think that she just is like, you ladies are terrible, and I'm just not going to deal with it. I'm just going to say fuck you all day long.
And all of this could have gone so differently. Tamara's the first one. He was like, you stupid fucking bitch, or whatever she said, for no reason.
Well, and also like, Shannon is like blindly following Tamara during this whole thing. I mean, Kelly has a right to be angry at Tamara. Tamara is a shitster. She is a manipulator. And Shannon started to see the light, but she got manipulated because she's weak. I mean, she's said, like, this is a pattern for her. She follows strong personalities. Shannon is unfortunately not an alpha. And she needs strong people to sort of tell her, not to tell her what to think, but people, she's easily influenced. And I say that as someone who is easily influenced myself, so I get it.
Well, oftentimes victims of abuse will always listen to the biggest abuser,
yeah.
You know, because that's like a way that you're trained to like survive.
Yeah.
And I think that anyone who's like she's the most terrified of, she'll just go with whatever they say.
Exactly, because you know Tamara says, no one's been a good friend to you like the way I have. When you went through your shit, who was there for you? It was me, which is like the classic abuser thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, because Tamara is the one who started doing this whole thing of like, this lawsuit, the money that I was going to put Ryan back into college for, it's gone now. And now Shannon's like, well, yeah, you immerse yourself into something. She's just parroting what Tamara says. She just blindly follows.
Yep.
And so it's a shame because Shannon and Kelly could still be friends, but Tamara yeah. doesn't want that.
Yep. So Bronwyn and Kelly are in the other dressing room, or another dressing room, and Bronwyn's like, yeah, how is she saying all these things about you, but then trying to sue you for defamation? Like, how does that work again?
Yeah.
And Kelly's like, she's dangerous! You don't think sex train, drugs, throwing my mom down the stairs? I mean, those are rumors, by the way! Those are rumors! I placed my mother outside down the stairs, that's all! That's all I did!
Yeah. And Vicky's like, I'm tired of Kelly putting a pig face on things like putting it on a card, like setting it an emoji. I mean, I don't go after her for her flat ass and stupid nose. I don't do that at all. No, I didn't even just do it right now in that sentence. Not at all.
And Tamara goes, Vicky, are you here for the rest of the thing? Meaning the reunion. And Vicky goes, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess. Look, we're going to Laughlin after they release me. Like, what? Like she doesn't care. Oh, my God.
That's her big plan. She's going to Laughlin afterwards.
Yes. And
CVS.
So during the break, so this is the commercial for Watch What Happens. So Watch What Happens is they had all this stuff on one night, put Classic Marge, Vicky, and Brandy from Dallas on the same episode.
Yeah.
And so the commercial for the episode comes up, and Andy goes, so who's getting the most turnt tonight? Vicky goes, turnt. What is turnt?
What's that? Turnt? Which way should it turn? This way? I told you what my angle was, Andy. Which way?
And Marge goes, he means turnt out, babe. And I was like, no, that's not right either.
No.
It means turned up. Turnt out is like when somebody like uses you as a prostitute.
Well, you know what is also funny is that I'm so sorry to whoever this was. I think it was someone on Twitter. May have been someone on Facebook. Someone took a screenshot and was like, put an arrow on the caption on the commercial and was like, look at this shade. it said Vicki Gunvalson and Housewives Margaret Josephs and Brandi Redmond on the next Watch What Happens Live. Basically, they separated Vicki from the category of Housewives. Vicki Gunvalson and Housewives. And it was like, someone pointed at it, like, look at this. It's like the shade, the Bravo shade, a very small thing. Like, you are not a housewife anymore.
Why would they even have her on Watch What Happens? That's what cracks me up about this show. It's like they're treating her in this reunion episode like, fuck you. You are never coming back here again. You know, like, we are going to chew you up and spit you out. But then it's, you know, it's like, we love you.
It's like gristle. You know, you want to chew it up and spit it out, but you just wind up just chewing it. And thinking for some reason that it'll get to a point that maybe I could digest it. You know, the thing is that I'm going to say something controversial. I think this season of Orange County has actually been really good, really hilarious. I think that Vicki being in a supporting role has been great. I think that Vicki serves a role on this show. I know people absolutely despise her, but Vicki is also a crazy personality. And like, as awful as she is, I would not want to see Orange County without her in some capacity. I think this has been the perfect amount for her. As long as she's with Steve Lodge and not doing anything interesting in her life, let her pop up here and there, create shit, be awful, be deluded, and that's what we need her for. And she
should. Oh my God, every year she's just terrible. And every year we say the same thing, like, she's terrible. But, you know,
you keep the terrible
she
ones.
She is making it. Yeah.
You keep the terrible ones. You get rid of the boring ones. You need it's storytelling. You have your heroes and you have your antagonists. You have to have heroes and villains. That's what Vili's role is. Vicki's role is villain. Okay. Hate her. Go after her with pitchforks. But she's our villain and we need our villains.
Yeah. So, welcome back to the season. Shannon tried to mend the rift between Kelly and Vicki. And Tamara's just doing the nod, sad straw. That's that thing.
Silent straw nod.
The silent straw nod, yeah. So, we get the clip of everything turning.
So good. The gong heard around the world. Sometimes these clip packages were on point for this reunion. Every single one of them had me cracking up. This was a great one. I mean, wow. What a great episode. How lucky were we to have been able to watch that episode?
I forgot that Tamara said, I don't want to scare you, but my ex-husband got hit in the head and his spinal fluid was leaking.
So good. So Kelly's explaining her behavior. She's like, no, I did it as a joke. I mean, she looked so ridiculous. She had a bowl on her head, and then she was stepping in one. I thought it was funny. I mean, half the world thought it was funny. They're done. Look at this dum-dum. She didn't even go to high school. Look at her. She's confused. She doesn't even know what ridiculous means. Look, dummy, sophomore in high school, stopped there.
People need to understand that the bowl was heavy. And so was the donger thing. And Kelly's like, well, you should have just hit it back to me. Just, that is not in my makeup. I don't go around hitting women. So
it wasn't hitting. It wasn't hitting. It was a love tap. It was a love tap.
It wasn't a bong. It was a ding.
Shannon goes, no, no, no. It was not a love tap because my body went like, David.
And she does it like three times. My body went like this. My body went like this.
She just starts doing the robot. She's like,
Mr. Roboto. Don't worry, Gato, Mr. Roboto. Well, that sounds like a nice gentleman who would not cheat on his wife, Mr. Roboto.
Don't mind me, Ronnie. I'm just over here being crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. So Andy's like, so Kelly, show me how hard you thought the hit was. So Kelly like hits him on the head and he's like, nah. And Vicki goes, that's not the same, Andy. And Kelly's like, I put the bowl on my head, Vicki. You weren't even there, okay? Like, you weren't even there. You don't even know.
Yeah. And Chan's like, well, Gina and Tamara felt my head. And did I not have a bump on my head? Let the jury know. Let the salmon with cream cheese know that there was a bump on my head. There was a bump. It may have been my glasses, but it was a bump nonetheless.
You don't drink that much when you have a bump on your head. She's a hypochondriac. We know. And Shannon screams, stop saying you know everything. You don't. And Kelly starts
everyone's
cracking
like, calm down.
Oh, easy.
Calm down.
I'm just imitating. Was it Kelly?
She said she was
Kelly.
I'm just imitating Kelly for 1 second. So I'm just gonna do my pens because Shannon Bedore lost her cool for 1 second. Oh God, I lost my cool. Oh, why can't I lose? She could lose her cool all day, but I can't lose my cool. Well, let me tell you something. This is the concussion speaking.
Shannon Bedore doesn't lose her cool. Have you seen this show? Like, you just showed it to your boyfriend, okay? We just saw, like, what are you talking about? So then Andy is like, well, Shannon, Meghan McCain said you're overreacting. First of all, what I would say to that is, who fucking cares what Meghan McCain thinks? What do I care what Meghan McCain
thinks?
This
is Meghan McCain reacting. So I just want to read some numbers to you. In 2019, 53% of American households believe that she was overreacting. 22% do not watch the show. And 13% believe that Joy Behar should let me speak more. There.
Shut up, Meghan McCain. You know, here's what I say to Meghan McCain. Who fucking cares, Meghan? So what, Meghan McCain?
So what?
Who cares?
Joy Behar is like the female Joe Giudice.
So what? Who cares? So what? Who cares? Who cares? So what? So what? Who cares?
So Meghan McCain thought that Shannon was overreacting. Shannon's like, I heard that.
Well, do you think that Meghan McCain's going to contradict Kelly Dodd while sitting next to her? I mean, Kelly Dodd is a known psychopath who's going to kill people. And you think Meghan McCain's going to stand up to that? No, I don't.
No.
No.
So Andy says, Tamara, was Shannon really hurt? Tamara, who can't stay on anybody's side ever, goes,
well, I'm a Shannon favor, and if she got something in her head, she needs to get it checked out to feel better.
So basically, no, you don't think she was hurt, is what you're saying.
So then Kelly starts going with this new angle of like, yeah, they're so predictable. Like, I knew this was going to happen. They're so predictable with how they scheme. That's so predictable. They're predictable. Shannon's like,
but I'm scam.
And then we see the clip of Kelly like, oh my God, here's what's going to happen. They're going to go to the emergency room or whatever she said that called out exactly what they're going
to
do.
Yeah. And then, of course, they call up and it's like, so we had to take Shannon to the emergency room. That's what I said. So Shannon goes,
predictable. You're so predictable. You're so hurt that you almost drink yourself to death.
Yeah.
If you think that I wanted to spend the first night of my trip in the hospital, well, guess what? Lady David, I didn't.
And Kelly just goes, you're predictable. You're so predictable.
Well, after you got it checked out, Shannon, you got hammered, which is kind of Kelly's point. She's like, well, yes, we had had a couple of drinks, and that is when we hadn't eaten yet because I was in a hospital.
Yeah. She goes, yeah, well, it was 1 a.m. and it just hit me. It hit me. Yeah, hit you a lot harder than I hit you. You guys get that on tape?
Oh, ha-ha. There's the Kelly Dodd humor. Oh, that is hilarious.
So, Emily, did Gina overreact when Kelly hit her on the head?
I think that Kelly meant it as a joke, but Gina just wasn't in a state to receive it that way. And then Shannon goes,
Oh, I love that Mrs. Attorney says hits on the head are overreacting. Okay, let the court see that hits on the head are overreacting for Mrs. Attorney.
You can pull 100 doctors. Give me 5 that say it's okay to hit someone on the head.
And Kelly goes, I said I'm sorry, okay? I was joking. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm sorry. Calm down, girl.
Oh.
That always works.
Yeah.
Oh, enough with the calm down. Here you are sitting next to Mrs. Attorney. No relation to Miss 30-year-old, by the way. And you're the one freaking out all day calling everyone a dumb idiot. Ah!
She called me dumb first.
Let me tell you something.
So then Shannon goes,
ever since the show aired, I have not gone on social media one time and said how bad it was that Kelly hit me. But this person has gone on a rampage and said they're attacking me. Oh, they're all attacking.
You were all attacking her. Are you fucking kidding? And you haven't said anything about this all year. What world are you people living in?
I know. So then Shannon goes, You're a hypocrite. Which I just love when Kelly does that. It's like a tennis match. Just like whatever you throw at her, she just throws it right back.
And then she changes it up because Tamara goes, she's a narcissist. Just, oh, really? You're a sociopath.
Tamara's like, I don't know what that means. High school. Didn't finish high school.
So the next question is, Gina, you became the fourth amiga. Why is it okay if the tres amigas call you a baby, but then you get offended by Bronwyn calling you little sister? She's like,
because I feel that they mean it. It's a term of endearment. And Bronwyn's like, so did I. She says, yeah, I know. But it was the wrong situation for you to give me a term of endearment because the other girls didn't like you, so I had to yell at you. So I did.
Yeah.
Basically.
Bronwyn's like, no matter what I do, it's like always the wrong situation. It's always the wrong situation to bring it up. You know, like whatever comes out of my mouth, you're already attacking me for it.
And Bronwyn goes, yeah, I mean, look, I didn't mean it in a belittling way. And when people have asked me what it's like filming the show, I say it's like we're sisters. And Gina goes,
well, that's a little weird.
Oh, come on. Come on, Gina. So. You're the one who like spent half the season dressed up like you're going to go to see Cats.
Oh, so then is the accomplished fight.
I forgot about
like,
the accomplished
thing. Kelly, he's like, so Kelly, good. Why did you think it was okay to say Gina wasn't accomplished? And Kelly goes, that was wrong of me. That was wrong. I'm sorry. It was wrong. And he goes, yeah, but didn't you make your money through your divorce? She's like, sorry. She goes, no, I sold 5 houses by the time I married Michael. I had $1 million. It's in public domain. It's in public domain.
Yeah. And Vicky's like, no, you're not a businesswoman. You're not a business. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not a business. She goes, do you know anything about stocks? Do you know about stocks?
And Vicky is now mad because Kelly said she bought a house for 3.7 and she sold it for $5 million, talking about her last house with Michael. And Vicky's like, that was a mortgage. That was, you're acting like you had $5 million. Yeah. No, Vicky, we all know how mortgages work.
I don't
no
actually.
One, like, you didn't just walk in and buy your house with cash either.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. So she's like, Kelly, you're not a businesswoman. You're not a businesswoman. She goes, Kelly goes, really? I just got into Walmart today, bitch. I just got into Walmart. I'm like,
yeah, but that's how long that lasts.
Yeah. By the way, I'm sure Walmart loves that sort of branding. I just got into Walmart today, bitch. I just got into Walmart. I may have to make that into a t-shirt.
Yes. Well, Walmart, you know, it's like the Coke Santa. I just got into Walmart, bitch. Oh, oh, oh.
So Tamara.
Did you see that? That thing they accidentally led into Walmart. It was a Christmas sweater of Santa, but he was doing Coke. He was holding a straw in one hand, and there were lines of Coke on the table.
Amazing. So Tamara tries to say something that's like an insult. She's like, oh, yeah, Kelly, I just saw your water at Target. It was on clearance for $1. And Kelly's like, because we're trying to promote it on an end cap, you dumb fuck. Which... I love using dumb fuck in the same sentence with promoting it on an end cap. But also, like, if you're in Target, that's, like, a big deal. That's, like, it's not like she's...
It's huge.
Yeah, and Tamara's trying to make it seem like, oh, yeah, you're, like, on sale at Target. Like, yeah, Target. That's amazing.
You got fucking Target, Tamara, with your one-store strip mall gym with an uneven floor. You feckin' loser.
We're going national!
So Kelly's like, we're going international!
I'm turning her into, like, Mr. Bill, by the way. We're going national! But she's like...
Yeah. I wrote, LOL, she's at Target, and Tamara with the strip mall gym is mocking her. I mean,
exactly.
Tamara has no shame.
And Tamara goes, you're trash. You're trash. Oh, yeah, go sell another Groupon for your losing fucking gym.
But I took a pod. But I took a
pod. We do Living Social.
And thanks to the Facebook detectives, all that you have to do is Google Cut Fitness and Groupon. And there's a ton of Fitness Groupons. Tamara's such a liar. So Kelly goes, someone sent it to me. I know you do.
But nah, but I do that. But I do that.
And Andy goes, so why did you say Gina wasn't accomplished? She goes, I said I was wrong, Andy. What do you want from me?
Yeah. She's. I think that, like, clearly it sounds like, it's not clear at all, because I thought she really was saying that Gina was unaccomplished, which was hilarious, but apparently, I guess she meant that Gina is not, like, accredited to give advice or something like that. Maybe not accredited, but, like, you know, like, that's not her specialty, she's not educated in that area, whatever. I guess maybe that's what she meant. So Kelly is like, she was giving me unsolicited advice, and Andy goes, that's two different things. I'm saying I was wrong, Andy! I'm trying to promote on an end cap, you dumb fuck.
So he's like, all right. So then Gina and Bronwyn burned a piece of paper at the labyrinth walk. Yep. Oh, God.
What was on it, huh? And she's like, well, I was letting go of the life I thought I was going to have. You know, I moved out to Orange County and I thought I was going to be like happily ever after. But guess what? It wasn't. So I'm burning up my house in the form of a piece
of
paper.
You're boring me. You're boring.
Yep. And then Tamara starts talking about how hard it is to get to know Emily because she always has her guard up. I'm like, she has her guard up because when she tells you things, you don't believe her and undermine her instead.
How many lives have you fucking tried to ruin, Tamara? Okay, give me a break. She has her guard up.
She doesn't open up. It's crazy. It's crazy when someone won't own up to me. Open up to me.
And Emily's like, well, I'll own my part of that, Tamara. She's like,
but I thought we were in a good place. But then press starts and you're calling us bullies.
And she goes, well, I'm saying I feel like you ganged up on Kelly.
Oh, so were you there when she painted a picture of a pig in a car?
And Emily goes, no. She goes, oh, so you're okay with that? It's a woman, which is the new Shannon and Vicky thing. Like, a woman. I don't hate women. Selective. And how could you treat women like that?
Selective feminism. As a woman. So we see like a clip of Kelly spray painting a pig face on a car and then like it getting demolished, which is real. It is cruel. It is a cruel,
terrible,
a cruel
yes,
thing to do.
Course.
It's immature. It's petty. It's actually really nasty. So Vicky goes, oh yeah. So what would make you draw a pig on a car? Do you think you're a beauty queen? And Kelly just goes, yeah, I'm better looking than you are. Which is like, it's so dirty. It's so nasty. But it's also so hilarious that she's like, oh, you think you're going to like trip me up and get me feeling bad about you? No, I'm not. I'm just going to come back and punch you right in the face.
Yes. And she's Emily. I like that Vicky keeps going after Emily like, oh, so you're okay with that as a woman? No.
Oh, is that uplifting to you? Is that uplifting to you, Emily?
And Kelly goes, oh, yeah, you're so uplifting, Vicky. So Shannon's like, real class act, Kelly.
How is that inspiring or uplifting for women, what she did? And Bron was like, I think that she was pushed too far. What was pushing her so far? Maybe the constant barrage of rumors you were spreading about her at the time.
And Vicky's like, she has a bad reputation. And Kelly's like, what are you talking about? A bad reputation? You don't even live in Newport. You live in the sticks. You don't even know my reputation in Newport. You know, she doesn't even belong here in Newport. And Vicky's like, oh, do you belong there? You're a renter. Like, are you rent shaming someone now?
Yes, she is. Look, because poor people don't count. Okay. Anyone out there renting, we all, you know, we're all just fucking monsters. We don't belong anywhere.
Yeah.
So Kelly's like, I owned a $5 million house. He goes, your husband did. I was like, and then everyone on that couch is nodding. Really, Shannon, where did you get your money? Tamara, where did you get your start with all your money?
Exactly.
Anybody on that couch, really?
And Kelly is like, you know what? Well, fuck it. I'm getting married. So like, if you're going to say I'm getting my money from marrying guys, well, guess what? I'm getting married.
God, total. I thought that was a total fail. I think that's when they finally got Kelly. When she's like, well, so what? I'm getting married. Like, I'll have money again or whatever. And Vicky's like, oh, okay, there you go. Because the husband.
You're an idiot.
Does he have a jet, Kelly? Does he have a yacht, Kelly?
Yeah. Yeah. You're an idiot. Get her off my show. Get her off my show. And then Bron was like, it's not your show. And he goes, oh yeah, you wouldn't, you wouldn't be here if it weren't for me. If I didn't start the show.
I love Bron Win season one. Also, Tamara threw in there at Kelly, you gotta date
old men for your money.
And Kelly goes, you have a paid for dude. What are you talking about?
It's like such a dirty, vile fight, but also hilarious.
I mean, holler. I was cracking up the entire night.
Only part one. I was like really upset that Bravo was like scheduled the next two parts Christmas week, so we couldn't take off. But you know what? Maybe it'll be just okay because it's hilarious.
It's a gift.
It's a gift. I should understand. I should appreciate gifts when they come my way. Okay, this is a Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Boxing Day gift.
And that brings us to the end, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, tomorrow we are going to be tackling Real Housewives of Dallas, which should be a doozy. I haven't watched it yet. I am scared, but excited to just tear some shit apart.
Yep, we will see you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
An Apple original series.
18 years, that's how long Warren Cave has sat in jail for murder. Is there an innocent man in prison
because of me?
You think all the secrets came out during the trial?
I have to get to the truth.
Octavia Spencer, Aaron Paul, Lizzie Kaplan.
The people get their show.
Truth be told, open the Apple TV app to start watching now. New episodes Fridays. Apple TV Plus subscription required.
Hello, my name is Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, host of the Feel Better, Live More podcast, where I give you simple tips on things like improving sleep, energy, and gut health that will leave you feeling happier and calmer. The podcast is brought to you by JW Marriott. Traveling can really take its toll on the body, but inspired by the principles of mindfulness, JW Marriott is designed to let you focus on feeling whole. With more than 90 hotels in the world, visit jwmarriott.com for more information.